We now continue with the preaching of the Word of God, and I would like to invite you to open your Bibles in the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read from verses 1 through verse 8, but the sermon will be based on verse 2, especially the greeting that Paul gives to the Colossians. So Colossians chapter 1, from 1 through verse 8. Hear the reading of God's holy word. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we are gathered together before you, and as we come to your word once again, O Lord, we pray for you to be merciful to us, and for the Holy Spirit to help us, O Lord, to open our eyes to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives through this text of Colossians chapter 1. We pray this with the forgiveness of all our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. So our sermon text is verse 2, especially the greeting that the Apostle Paul gives to the Colossians, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord, the Apostle Paul did not found the church in Colossae. Most probably Epaphras, who is mentioned in verse 7. He was one of the pastors, together with others, that founded the church in that city. And when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison. So the Apostle Paul writes to them. He has heard of them through Epaphras and other members of the church at Colossae, and he rejoices in the fact that the Lord is working in them and through them to expand the gospel in that city. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Those expressions, the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, take for granted that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, is writing to the people of God, is writing to those who are saved, who are saints, set apart, consecrated to the Lord, and those who are faithful, who believe in Jesus Christ and who are committed to the gospel. They are in Christ, in union with Him. Christ died for them. paid for all their sins, and now they are in union with Him. They believe in Him, they love Him, and they want to live in a way that reflects the love of Christ in their lives. I believe that is so important for us to understand in order to also understand the content of the greeting in which Paul conveys these blessings to the Colossians. He says to them, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." As I said, it is so important to understand that he's writing to the people of God. So when we read of the grace and the peace of God, they know that they don't have to work in order to obtain that grace and peace. They cannot, through their works, through their merits, obtain the grace of God. But they are the recipients of the grace and the peace of God. And interestingly, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, in all of his epistles, he has the same greeting, grace to you. Sometimes he adds mercy and peace to you. For example, Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, "To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God." And it's the same thing in reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And we can read all the epistles of Paul and find that that was the greeting that he communicated to the people of God. And brothers and sisters, there is a similarity, isn't it, between the Ten Commandments and the greetings of Paul to the church. Because when we read the Ten Commandments, we read that the Lord is giving His law, is giving His law to His redeemed people. They are safe. They were rescued from Egypt. They belong to the Lord. They are the covenant people of God. So they don't have to obey the commandments in order to be saved. So we see somehow the same pattern in Paul's greetings to the churches when he writes letters to them. He writes to the redeemed people of God, and they must, and we must understand that we cannot, through our works and efforts, obtain, acquire, earn the grace and the peace of God. It's given to us for Christ's sake. So the Apostle Paul says to them, "Grace to you and peace." This greeting is so important for us to understand. The word grace means the undeserving favor of God, His mercy and His compassion that we didn't deserve, by which He forgives all our sins and give us eternal life in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we believe that salvation is by grace alone. It is a gift of God to us. We didn't earn it. So when Paul says to the Colossians, "Grace to you," he is saying, first of all, that they remember the amazing grace of God that saved them from their sins and gave them eternal life. This is, for example, what we read from Ephesians. Do you recall Ephesians chapter 2? In which the Apostle Paul says, in verse 5, he says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And then in verse 8, very familiar verse. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So the Apostle Paul reminds the Colossians, and he reminded all the churches, and we are also reminded today that we are the recipients of this wonderful grace of God, by which we were saved, by which we were forgiven, by which the Father sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us. But also, the word grace has other meanings. Another meaning is that the word grace refers to all the blessings and the benefits, the favors that we receive from God. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, "Everything I am, everything I have done is only because of the grace of God." So we thank the Lord for His saving grace, but also we thank the Lord because it is through His grace, His mercy, His compassion to us, that He blesses us. He continues to give us favors and blessings daily in our lives. So when the Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians and he says to them, "Grace to you, grace to you," it was so meaningful. It was so significant. It meant that the grace of God should penetrate the entirety of our lives. That we need the grace of God at the beginning of the Christian life to be forgiven and to be saved. But also we need that grace every day in our lives. You know, one of the errors of a lot of people throughout the history of the church is that they say, "Yes, I need the grace of God to be saved. But once I am saved, it is up to me to remain faithful." If that were the case, no one would remain faithful. We need the grace of God at the beginning of our Christian life, at the middle of our Christian life, at the end of our Christian life. We need the grace of God throughout our Christian life. But notice that when Paul says to them, "Grace to you," it means that God is so good to us that He's constantly pouring out His grace upon us. He didn't give us His grace just to be safe and then stop. No, He constantly is giving us His grace. He's constantly telling us, "I love you." He's constantly reminding us, "It was because of the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because of my grace that you are able to do and to be who you are." You know, many people criticize the Apostle Paul for making a lot of emphasis on the doctrines of grace, on this saving grace of God. And the church, the Christian church throughout the ages, has been also criticized by people who misunderstand the Christian life, and they say, "Well, you make too much emphasis on grace." Well, we have been criticized too as a Reformed church. "You guys make too much emphasis on grace." Yeah, we do. Because Paul did. The Bible does. And it's interesting that once again, every time he writes a letter, he says to the churches, "Grace to you." And he's saying that to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's reminding us, "Grace to you." So, you see an order. He says, "Grace to you," and then peace. Because grace is the fountain of peace. Right? It is the grace of God that saved us. And in order to have peace, we need the grace of God. So the fruit of grace is peace. Grace to you and peace. The peace of God, brothers and sisters, refers to different things. But in the first place, we can speak of the peace of God as being reconciled to God. Paul says that before we were enemies of God. Now we are friends of God. And we have been made friends through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is wonderful peace. Because we know that now we are not children of wrath, right? That we will not suffer eternal punishment. But we are at peace with God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we also sing that now it is well. It is well with my soul. Because we know that we are at peace with God. What a wonderful thing. Brothers and sisters, that's why it is so important to understand this order of grace and peace. Because many people, and you, I'm sure, have met people like that. Many people in churches, they go to church, they seem to be Christians, but they live in anxiety because they are not assured. They are not certain that they are at peace with God. That is why it's so important to know that in order to have peace with God, we need first the grace of God. But secondly, peace also refers to, in general, to a state of well-being, right? So when we ask you, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? You know, are you doing well? Is everything doing okay? That's the idea, you know, of peace. Remember in Genesis chapter 43, when Joseph met his brothers in Egypt, in Genesis 43, verse 27, he hadn't revealed yet to his brothers, but he asked them in verse 27, then he asked them about their well-being and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? You see, is he doing okay? So peace has that idea too of being in a state of well-being. And obviously, it is a consequence of the first meaning of peace. If we are at peace with God, then we are at peace with each other. We, by His grace and His mercy, were able to enjoy the blessings that He gives us day by day. But this peace is a peace that is divine. It is a peace that comes from God. It is a peace that will be there even when we are sick. Even when things are not going well in my marriage. Even when things are not going well in my family. Even when things are not going well at work. And so on. This peace is a peace, Paul says, that surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that you cannot find anywhere else and at anyone else. It is a peace that comes from God. Jesus said, my peace I give you. So Paul is saying then to the Colossians, you cannot be saved. And you cannot have peace if you are not in Christ. It is only in Christ that we are able to have peace. That's why he said in the first, at the end of verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, to those who are in union with him, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention to the word you. Grace to you and peace. To whom was Paul writing? to the Colossians, right? To the members of the church. Who are the members of the church? Well, you know, we would say, well, we are the members of the church, right? But a lot of people say, you know, just the adults are the members of the church. But the Apostle Paul didn't think that way. The Apostle Paul, he saw the people of God formed by parents and children. So that parents are the recipients of the grace and the peace of God. But also children. What a wonderful blessing to know that. Paul didn't write his letters just to the ones who were able to read. Or to the ones who were, you know, grown-ups. And the children, no, there is no grace and peace for them. No, he wrote to the church. He wrote to both adults, grown-ups, and little ones. And not only little ones, even those who were in the womb. When we read in the Old Testament about the people of God chose a people for himself. And he chose the parents, the elderly, young people, teenagers, toddlers, little ones, even those who were in the womb. They are the members of the church. So, brothers and sisters, this grace and peace is granted and given to all of us, including our little ones. You see the love of God. You see his grace. You see his mercy being given to each one of us, even your own little ones, because they belong to the people of God. They belong to the kingdom of God. They are members of the church. They belong to him. That is why the Apostle Paul, as he does in other letters, in Colossians, he does the same thing. Notice in chapter 4, verse 20. Colossians chapter 4, let's see. He says in chapter 3, verse 20, he speaks of wives, husbands, and then in verse 20, he speaks of whom? Of children. You see, he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And you see, the Apostle Paul makes no explanation. He doesn't justify, or he doesn't say, I'm going to clarify something. You know, the children, you know, it's only the ones who are able to speak or believe. No, he just says, children, obey your parents. Because these children are the ones who are also the recipients of the grace and peace of God. Going back to the greeting in Colossians chapter 1, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is a harmony, there is a unity between the Father and the Son, and as we know, between the Holy Spirit as well. They are all in agreement to give us grace and peace. It is the Father who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And it is the Son who willingly submitted himself to the will of the Father. And it is the Holy Spirit who comes and applies that salvation to our hearts. So this grace and peace come from them. And in the first place, the Apostle Paul says that it comes from God. From God. This means that the grace and peace that we receive are not humanly devised. This is not an invention, a creation of man, of humankind. But this grace and peace that we enjoy as a people of God, it is divine. It comes from God himself, the creator of all things, the Almighty One, the one who knows everything, the one who is almighty and all-powerful to work in you and through you, to save you, to forgive you, to be with you all the time. He is the fountain of grace and peace. But you know, you can ask a lot of people, do you believe in God? Yes, I do. But then you ask him, who is this God? You know, I don't know. It's God, right? That's what they say. It's God. Is there another God? You know, they speak just in general terms. But our God is supremely personal. He's not just a superior being. He's not just energy out there. This God is personal. And this God for all eternity has been the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, he is now our Father. And that means that this is not an evil God. That God is not a wicked God. That this God is not someone who is just indifferent to us. But he is our Father. The perfect Father of all. He is our Father. He is someone to whom, and in this case, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can relate to. We now in Jesus Christ can come and not pray just to the spirits or to the energy out there. Well, we come and pray to God who is our Father. So when we recite the Apostles' Creed, what is it that we say? I believe in God, the Supreme Being. Is that what we say? No, right? He is supreme, but he is our Father. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. That is the Christian God. That is the God of whom the Bible speaks. He's the God who revealed himself to us in that way. But then we read that also the fountain of this grace and peace is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it is through Jesus Christ, the natural and eternal Son of God, that we are able to have peace, grace and peace. He's the fountain as well of grace and peace in our lives. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot have the grace and peace of God. So, brothers and sisters, this greeting, this salutation is so important for us. It's so comforting. We see the constant care of God. Once again, we need grace throughout our lives. And God is willing and almighty, as the Catechism says, to give us his grace and peace constantly. And the more we grow in our relationship with the Lord, the more we read the scriptures, the more we learn about him, we come to love him even more. And we are amazed at his grace and the peace that he's able to give us. You know, brothers and sisters, as I was younger, you know, when I was in some trouble, as you know, we had our first child, the second one, you know, if there was a problem, we were like, oh, the world is, you know, collapsing. There is, you know, no hope or so. And then, you know, we continued to grow and get more mature. And we actually see that it was the Lord himself carrying us through all of that. And there are so many people out there that, you know, they say, don't say this or don't do that, or let's do this to keep the people in church, you know. Or if somebody is sick or is in this trouble, you know, he might just abandon the faith. No, true Christians do not abandon the faith. We struggle. You know, we're weak and sinful. But the peace of God is so great in our lives that even when we are sick, even when the doctors say, you know, there is no hope, even when something terrible happens in our lives, that peace, even then, is there with us, permeating our lives and helping us to make progress, to move forward, because this peace, this grace, the God who has saved us, give us his peace day by day, his constant care for us. That is why also, brothers and sisters, and the ones who have young children in our congregation, including myself, this is the grace and the peace of God that sustain us. You know, as we have said, this grace and peace is given to your children. So trust in God. As he takes care of you, he will take care of your children. He loves them. And he will help them. And he will help you to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So this means that we accept that criticism of making emphasis on grace, right? Do you? I do. You know, we love the Lord, and his grace is abundant in our lives, and we want to speak more of grace and sanctification and repentance and all of that. But brothers and sisters, this means for our church that people should find grace and peace in our congregation. That whoever comes to visit us, they may see, they know the grace of God. They know the peace of God. I want to be a part of a church like this, who has a God of grace and God of peace, and who gives his grace and peace to us. May the Lord help us to be that church. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for reminding us of your amazing grace and peace, for reminding us that we didn't earn them, but you gave them us freely as a gift. So we pray that we love you and serve you with all our hearts, knowing that you take care of us from the beginning of our Christian life till the end, till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.